precepts. So when you take precepts, you purify your moral conduct, and so these three are there. So these three are not actively working at the moment of vipassana, but since they are accomplished before vipassana, they are said to be working maybe in the background. So the five factors, right understanding, right thought, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration, are called the worker factors, working factors. So they are the ones that should be working harmoniously so that you get good concentration, good meditation, and good understanding and right knowledge of the true nature of mind and matter. Okay, these are the four noble truths, and the eight factors of the fourth noble truth in some detail. So you may, you may read other books if you want to know more about and more detail about the Eightfold Path and the four noble truths. Now, this is the course on fundamentals of Buddhism, and so I think it should be enough for with just this much exposition. So today we finish our talk on the four noble truths, and these are the four noble truths discovered by the Buddha and revealed to the world. And among these four noble truths, we should be more concerned with the fourth noble truth, because it is the fourth noble truth that will lead us to the cessation of suffering. So may we all practice the fourth noble truth and reach the highest goal in this very life.
Thank you.
To you in more detail. Now, you know the eighth factor of path, which is right concentration. So when Buddha explained that right concentration, Buddha mentioned the four jhanas. Now, the commentary explained that these four jhanas are not only mundane jhanas, but also we must take to these jhanas to mean supramundane jhanas. So the right concentration means not mundane jhanas as we might think at a first glance, but we must understand that it includes also the supramundane jhanas. Now, in order to understand it, first you should understand the jhanas. Now, jhanas are the higher states of consciousness. Now, these are experienced by those who practice samatha meditation. So jhanas can be obtained through the practice of samatha meditation. And these jhanas take as object that is the object of the practice leading to the attainment of jhana, or the object of a samatha meditation. For example, a person practices samatha meditation taking the earth disk as an object. So he looks at the earth disk and then he memorizes it, and let us say he has memorized it so completely that he could see and that the disk, so the or he could take the image of that disc in his mind. And then he dwells on it again and again so that it becomes more refined. And then he dwells on it again and then he gets jhana. So the jhana, when it arises, takes that object as an object, the refined mental image of the earth disk. This is just an example. There are many objects also. So when jhana arises, it takes that object, the mental image as an object, and it pushes the mental defilements away for some time. That means jhana cannot eradicate, cannot destroy any of the mental defilements, but jhana can push these mental defilements away for some time so that they do not arise in him for some time. So that is the nature of mundane jhanas. So again, mundane jhanas take their respective objects as object, and they just push the mental defilements away for some time. They cannot eradicate, that means destroy once and for all, any mental defilements. And when a person is jhana, he experiences happiness, he experiences peacefulness. The peacefulness he experiences during the time of jhana is superior to the happiness he enjoyed when experiencing sensual pleasures. So the happiness he experienced during the time of jhana is much better than the happiness he experienced when he enjoys sensual pleasures. So this is the nature of jhana. And there are four jhanas in mundane sphere. Now, okay. And the name jhana is given to a combination of some mental states or mental factors. Now the first jhana is a name given to a combination of five mental states that are called jhana factors. And these five mental states are initial application, sustained application, and piti or rapture, and sukha or happiness, and unification of mind or concentration. So when we say first jhana, we mean these five as a group. And the second jhana consists of the last three. So in the second jhana, the first two are missing. So the second jhana is a name given to the combination of the last three jhana factors, that is piti, rapture, sukha, happiness, and concentration. The third jhana is a name given to the last two factors, happiness and concentration. And the fourth jhana is a name given to, again, two factors, but this time instead of happiness or happy feeling, it is neutral feeling. So the fourth jhana consists of neutral feeling and concentration. So these five factors are called, five mental states are called jhana factors. Now among these jhana factors, some are also the factor of magga. The initial application is right thinking or right thought among the eight factors of path, You know, there are 8 factors of path. The first one is what? Right understanding. The second, right thought. And then, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. So, the first jhana factor, which is vitaka, which is initial application, is right thought among the 8 factors of path. And then, the second, no corresponding path factor. And then, the third, no corresponding factor. The fourth, no corresponding factor. But the fifth, concentration, right? Unification of mind is actually right concentration. So, 2 of the jhana factors can be found in the among the 8 path factors. Now, the fourth noble truth is a combination of 8 factors of path. Since they are called 8 factors of path, they are called factors of path only when they arise with path consciousness. Now, the problem is how to connect the 5 mundane jhanas with path consciousness. If they are mundane jhanas, they are not path consciousness. And if it is path consciousness, it is not mundane jhana. So how to connect these two? Because Buddha, when Buddha explained the right concentration, he gave these 4 jhanas. So the commentary said that we must understand here the supramundane jhanas also. Now, what are the supramundane jhanas? Actually, jhana, by jhana we normally mean the mundane jhanas. But there can be jhanas in supramundane sphere also. How? At the moment of enlightenment, as you know, path consciousness arises, right? So when path consciousness arises, it arises together with 36 mental factors. And among the 36, there are initial application, sustained application, piti, sukha, and concentration, and other factors. So when path consciousness arises, all these 5 jhana factors are with it. Since the path consciousness has 5 jhana factors with it, the path consciousness is called first jhana path consciousness. That means path consciousness which resembles the first jhana. Because as we know, if it is jhana, it is not magga, and if it is magga, it is not jhana. But here, the magga consciousness is called first jhana because it resembles the first jhana of mundane sphere. So if a person practices vipassana meditation and gets enlightenment, if a person practices pure vipassana meditation, vipassana only, not combined with samatha. So if a person practices pure vipassana meditation and he gets the path consciousness, that path consciousness is accompanied by all these 5 factors, and so that path consciousness is said to be first jhana path consciousness. That is path consciousness resembling first jhana. Now there are persons who practice samatha meditation and who get jhanas before they practice vipassana meditation. And when they practice vipassana meditation, they may practice pure vipassana or they may practice samatha and vipassana joined together, yoked together. That means they may enter into first jhana. This is mundane jhana. And then they get out of that jhana and practice vipassana on that first jhana. And as a result of vipassana, let us say, path consciousness arises. So when path consciousness arises, that path consciousness is accompanied by all five jhana factors with other mental states. So his path consciousness is called first jhana path consciousness. That means path consciousness which resembles the first jhana. Again, that person has all four jhanas. So he may enter into second jhana. And getting out of second jhana, he may practice vipassana on second jhana. And then he gets magga. So his magga consciousness will be accompanied by only three jhana factors. Because he made the second jhana, which has only three jhana factors, as a basis for his vipassana. So when magga citta arises, his magga citta is accompanied by three jhana factors and other mental factors. So his that magga consciousness is called second jhana path consciousness. That means path consciousness which resembles second jhana. The same with the third jhana and fourth jhana. So when we say first jhana path consciousness, we really mean it is path consciousness and it is not jhana consciousness, but it is path consciousness which resembles, which is like jhana consciousness. So they are called supramundane jhanas. Actually, they don't take, supramundane jhanas don't take the mental image as object, but they take nibbana as object. So when these jhana factors arise with path consciousness, they take nibbana as object. But when they arise with jhana consciousness, when they arise as mundane jhanas, they take the mental image and so on as object. So the object is different. When they are mundane jhanas, they take the mental image and others as object. But when they arise with path consciousness, they take nibbana as object. And the path consciousness has the ability to destroy all mental defilements, not just pushing them away for some time, but destroying them altogether so that these mental defilements do not arise again. And when a person is experiencing the path consciousness and later on fruition consciousness, he is said to be in bliss. So his peacefulness, his happiness he experienced at that time is much superior to the experience of jhana. Not to speak of superior to experience of sensual pleasures. So that is the highest form of happiness, highest form of peacefulness. So mundane jhanas and maggas differ in this way, right? Mundane jhanas take the mental image and others as object, and they can push away mental defilements temporarily, and they can give a kind of peacefulness, much superior to ordinary peacefulness. And magga, we can call them supramundane jhanas. So supramundane jhanas or magga take nibbana as object, and they are able to eradicate, destroy once and for all mental defilements. And the happiness experienced during the time of magga and pala is the best, the highest form of happiness or peacefulness. So they differ in this respect. So when you see the explanation given for right concentration as four jhanas, you must understand that these four jhanas are both mundane and supramundane. So when you take these four jhanas to be mundane, they belong to the preliminary stage. When you take them to be supramundane, they belong to the stage of magga. So since there are four jhanas both in preliminary stage and at the stage of magga, the commentary said that there is a variety of jhanas both in the preliminary stage and at the moment of magga, because there are any one of these four in both cases, in both stages. So it is not like other factors of path. For example, right effort. Do you remember how many right efforts are there? Four, right? So there are four right efforts to avoid akusala, which has not yet arisen from arriving, and then to abandon akusala, which has arisen, and then to, how do I say, the effort for arising of kusala, which has not yet arisen, and the effort for development of kusala, which has already arisen, right? So there are four kinds of effort. Now these four kinds of effort arise during preliminary stage and also at the stage of magga. But during the preliminary stage, these four come one at a time, and not in the order, but there can be the first effort or second effort or third or fourth effort, and they take different objects. The first takes the akusalized object, right? And the third take akusalized object, and so on. But when the right effort arises with magga, there is no variety, just right effort. It arises with magga, taking nibbana as object and doing the function of path. So, in the preliminary stage, there is a variety of efforts. Effort number one, number two, number three, number four. But at the stage of magga, there is only one. Effort in general. We cannot see that the effort that arises with magga is of the first kind or second kind or third kind or fourth kind, but it is just the effort in general. So the commentary said there is variety of efforts in preliminary stage, but at the stage of magga there is only one effort. But here, with regard to concentration, it is different. So there is variety of jhanas both during the preliminary stage and at the stage of magga. Ask you some questions. Do jhanas eradicate mental defilements? Yes or no?
Yes.
Huh? Do jhanas eradicate, destroy mental defilements? Eradicate means destroy altogether? No. Huh? What they do is temporary abandonment, or push these mental defilements away for some time, right? But they cannot eradicate or destroy altogether the mental defilements. And that is one thing. And the other is, is it essential for a person to get jhanas before he takes up vipassana meditation? Must he get jhana before he practices vipassana meditation? No. He may or may not get jhanas, right? Yeah. These are the two things I want to make clear. I want you to understand clearly, right? So jhanas cannot eradicate or destroy mental defilements, but they can push these mental defilements away from the person for some time. And it is not essential, say, to get jhana before you practice vipassana meditation. You may get jhanas before or you may not. So these are the two things I want to make clear. Now, the jhanas being able to push the mental defilements away from some time, right? How long? A few hours? A few days? A few weeks? A month?
At the moment,
No. Jhanas can push away longer than that. You know how longer? 60 years. There was a monk, a very renowned monk in maybe ancient Ceylon, and he was a very famous teacher, and he got all these jhanas and mental magic powers, so that he thought that he was an arahant. And he taught many students, and many of his students became arahants, but he still remained an ordinary person, Puttojana. Now, one of his pupils, who had become an arahant, read his mind and found out that his teacher was still a Puttojana. So, in order to help him, in order to shake him up, he went to the teacher. And then when he met the teacher, the teacher asked, what do you come here for? Then he said, I want to ask you some questions. Then the student asked questions, and the teacher gave the answers right away. He doesn't have to search for the answers. Then the student said, "Oh, how great, how wonderful! You can answer my questions right away. So when did you reach this stage?" he asked, because the student knew that his teacher thought he was an arahant. So when did you reach this stage? Then he said, it's about 60 years ago. Because during these 60 years, he did not see any mental defilement arise in his mind. So that's why he thought he was an arahant. He was able to push these mental defilements away for 60 years. But since it is not eradication by magga, he can come back. So he asked, Pandey, do you experience or do you make use of magic powers? Oh, it's easy for me, he said. Then the student said, Pandey, please create an elephant. And it is putting his, trunk, right? The trunk? Yeah, the trunk up and making noise and rushing at you, say, to kill you. So the teacher created that image as the student has asked. And when the image he created went to him or came to him to crush him, he was afraid, and so he got up from his seat. He was afraid of his own creation. So the student took hold of the robe and said, Bhante, do arahants have fear? Only then he realized that he was not an arahant yet. So then he said, put up his hands and, friend, please be my refuge. So the student said, I came here just for this purpose. And then he he taught him a practice of meditation, and he practiced meditation and he became an arahant. So even for 60 years, they can push the mental defilements away. But although for 60 years no mental defilements had arisen in his mind, when there is the condition, the elephant coming to crush him, he was afraid, and so he got up to run away. So so jhanas cannot eradicate, right? Cannot destroy mental defilements altogether, but they can push them away. Not just when they are in the jhana state, maybe for many years, but since they are not eradicated completely, they can come back, as in this story. Yeah, but those eradicated by magga never arise again. Maybe an extreme case, the monk being able to push mental defilements away for 60 years, although he was a Puttojana. Okay, I think I have explained fairly fully, not yet fully, fairly fully, the factor of right concentration. And I think that shows that what I told you about the Four Noble Truths and Noble Eightfold Path is just the tip of an iceberg. There is a lot more to know about these Four Noble Truths and Eight Factors.
Thus concluded the lecture on the Four Noble Truths, Part 2, delivered by Venerable Usilananda at Tathagata Meditation Center, September 27, 1996.